Tonight's meal, tilapia surprise with boiled cabbage. Begin cooking steps 1 through 50 now.
Are you kidding me? Making dinner shouldn't feel like doing a 1,000-piece puzzle. With Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals, the hard part's already done. Pre-chopped ingredients, zero stress. Just assemble, bake, and enjoy. No complicated steps, no mountain of dishes. Try assemble and bake today. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more. The
Score! It's time for 5 on. Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris with Mark Grody bring you 5 topics on their minds today on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. I got 5 on. Number 1.
Bears cornerback Tyreek Stevenson's snap counts over the past 4 games are as follows: 33 snaps versus the Browns, 27 against the Packers, 18 at San Francisco, and 0 snaps against the Lions. Thanks to the Tribune's Brad Biggs for totaling up those snap counts in a recent article. So, defensive coordinator Dennis Allen said this to reporters on Wednesday.
There'll be a plan, you know, in place for Tyreek. We'll see how the game plays out. But I think all those guys have to be ready to play.
How many snaps do you think Stevenson will get Saturday against the Packers?
I'm still trying to figure this out. Because this is the quintessential question at this time of year in the National Football League. Who's healthy? How healthy are they? Are they more healthy? Are they more effective being partially healthy than the next guy? And that's the calculus that is constant. We have had to deal with it all season long for the Bears because of Jalen Johnson and the like. So I find it very curious that a healthy Tyreek Stevenson was not a factor in the game against the Lions on purpose. Like, it's one thing if he wasn't a factor because he's out there, but on purpose? That's what makes this so confusing. And, like, there's a quote from Jace Leisure. Dennis Allen says Tyreek Stevenson can still be a factor. What the hell happened behind the scenes here? Is that the question that you're led to believe? Because healthy bodies, especially ones who are vets on your team, who are of the current regime, you'd think would be part of this, right?
Well, my question is this, and this is how I answer the question of like how many snaps he'll actually get this week. How many interceptions has Tyreek Stevenson had this year?
One.
He has forced a couple of fumbles and recovered a couple of fumbles, but I don't think Tyreek Stevenson was ever going to be above Jalen Johnson on the depth chart.
No, and I think now it's him versus Nashawn Wright.
And Nashawn Wright generates turnovers. They're both lacking in coverage. Neither one of them is all pro or a pro bowler. Probably not even a pro bowl alternate. And that's one of those guys led the league in takeaways.
Yeah.
So if you got the guy who led the league in takeaways and you know your defense is leaky at best, you got to go with the guy who at least gives you a chance on a 50-50 ball.
Well, in Friend of the Score, Caitlin Sharkey had this quote as well around the same time yesterday. Dennis Allen on Tyreek's low snap count. I think when the season started, none of us thought Nashawn Wright would be playing the way he has. Part of his playing the hot hand. And wasn't that an actual discussion point among the coaching staff? And the players said that they were told that once Jalen Johnson became healthy enough to play.
Yeah.
So they're following their message there.
To answer the question about how many snaps, I could see him getting 10 snaps. I could see certain packages, whatever. Somebody needs a blow, however you want to put it. Because you got to have your guys, knowing the way the Bears play, got to have your guys at full strength in the fourth quarter. Because that's how it feels like this game, like most Bears-Packers games. Take Ben Johnson out of the equation. Most Bears-Packers game, they come down to the fourth quarter.
Well, empty the clip in the playbook, right?
Yes.
Both if you're the offensive play caller and if you're the defensive caller. So go ahead, throw it all out there. Please don't do as many fake blitzes because Jordan Love is going to check down on those even when they're real. Like, he's going to find the open man. That's all I ask. I love an unhinged blitz out of the secondary. I love an unhinged safety blitz. I love an unhinged corner blitz. I love a double safety blitz. But I don't know that Saturday is the time to do it.
You know what I love? Four-man pressure. Let's see if we get some.
You know the answer
number
to that.
Two.
I don't.
The Packers are out here talking trash. Here's what Green Bay quarterback Keysawn Nixon told reporters on Wednesday.
I didn't want nobody else. I want the Bears. I just, you know, however it felt, it was going to fall. If you had to go to Philly, it was going to Philly. But I'd rather play the Bears first. I need to get back. That's just what it is.
Packers cornerback Keyshawn Nixon. Should the Bears sound more like the Packers do when discussing Saturday's wild card game?
No, because the Bears don't have to go anywhere. They were going to have to go on the road regardless. And I will say, I expected them to be much more comfortable at Soldier Field, which they've shown us in the past, not just this year, but in matchups past for everybody on that Green Bay roster who's been a part of the Bears-Packers series for years now, including Jordan Love. Going to see the reigning Super Bowl champs as they're fully rested and fully healthy, 21 of 22 starters available right now from day one to now for the Eagles, that sounds like a very bad proposition for the Packers because that defense is real.
Does Nick Sirianni just flip double birds or something to anybody? Really? Is this the only way to match the Philly energy with more Philly energy?
Listen,
Do you just go there?
I know Nick Sirianni and them wish they could see the Packers this week instead of the 49ers. I think that's a fair statement.
Yeah, don't face the NFC West. You're going to have to. Just put it off.
They're going to be probably unavoidable unless, I don't know, Carolina goes on a run.
If Carolina goes on a run, I will 100% decide that the NFL has been scripted.
I don't think that's the way the NFL wants it to be scripted.
Somebody's scripting it. I do believe that a little too much at times. And it really comes down to one game in the 2018 playoffs, actually. It was Saints and Rams, because we all know that that was pass interference, and the Saints should have been the ones going to the Super Bowl instead. Don't you tell me that that wasn't pass interference. They're like, oh, we have to do something about this. Let's start making pass interference reviewable. Oh, we can't do it. Weaponized incompetence.
Number three.
This is 5 on it on 670 to the Score with Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris. Mark Grody will join us at 12:25 with a Bears report live from Hallis Hall. Here's question number three. Score baseball insider Bruce Levine told us Wednesday that the Cubs have had discussions with both agents for shortstop Bo Bichette and third baseman Alex Bregman, respectively. The Cubs are also reportedly interested in outfielder Cody Bellinger, old friend there. If you had the chance to give President of Baseball Operations Jed Hoyer advice on which free agent to target, who would it be?
Get the get back, Jed Hoyer. Go get Alex Bregman like you were supposed to have done. I don't know who's playing in right field right now. But I know that from an offensive standpoint, perhaps the most consistent bat you could ask for out of who's left. I mean, when I first read this question, you know what I really thought? Kyle Tucker. But I just don't know that that's even an option.
But if it was an option?
I would want a healthy Kyle Tucker for the entire season, and that hasn't happened in the past two seasons. So I don't even know that that's a thing. Like, that's the hard part about this, is how much were you burned by that? And by you, I mean anybody listening, Jed Hoyer, the Cubs, because I feel like I was burned by that. So it's affecting me as far as to who I want playing for the team. And thusly, I think probably sacrificing offense. But you already decided to sacrifice offense yet again anyway. So somebody better be coming through that door.
I like the idea a Bo Bichette and having a situation where Matt Shaw doesn't have to play all the time. And you've got some super utility type stuff with the mobility of not just Bo Bichette himself, but also we know Nico Horner can play multiple positions. Now, I know a lot of people are saying, well, if you get Bo Bichette, they got to trade away Nico Horner. You don't have to do that. Okay.
Why do you have to trade away the better player? Like, why do you have to trade away Nico?
No, that's a good point.
Not better than Bo Bichette.
No, but better than Matt Shaw. I got you. The cheaper, because he's cheaper.
It's fewer years of control.
They want to keep the cheap guy that they have control over. Listen, for me, it's Kyle Tucker, but if we take him off the table because he's not available, it's Bo Bichette. But also, Bo Bichette will be 28 next year. Alex Bregman's in his 30s. It's Cody Bellinger. And then I'll take any of the four, to be honest. I'll be like, hey, sir, here's my advice. Get one of these guys and add them to your lineup this year without subtracting anyone else that could be a force.
Yeah, the question, why not both, should be asked more often.
Yeah, I think that's where we are right now. And there's a growing belief within me. Now, tell me if this is foolish of me, but a growing belief that they will not come in second somehow, some way to one of these guys. They'll just get one of them.
I think it's the pressure and knowing that they have to. They have to sign one of these.
Why do they have to?
Because they don't have enough offense.
That's not what Jed Hoyer told me.
Well, Jed Hoyer also gave Shota Imanaga a raise. So they thought that they were probably going to get somebody else to bite on that and that they were going to get a pick in exchange, and it didn't happen.
Fair.
And that sits with me.
Number four.
The Bulls lost to the Pistons on Wednesday. Here's how it sounded on 670 The Score on the Bulls Radio Network.
And this ball game is over. Pistons win it 108-93. In one word, Bill, how would you describe this game?
A sloppy.
Bulls Radio Network analyst Bill Wennington describing the Bulls' performance as sloppy. What singular word would you use to describe how the Bulls looked in that loss to Detroit?
They flatlined. They kept it close. It was a good game at the half. It was a good game through three quarters. And then they had yet another quarter in a game where they scored fewer than 20 points. They scored 16. And I don't necessarily know if it's effort-based. I don't know if you can say they ran out of gas. A couple of the people who are part of the engine weren't playing. You know, Kobe White's out, obviously. And we know Josh Giddey won't be reevaluated now for at least, what, a week and a half? But either way, this thing was only going to work if everybody was healthy and together. So they flatlined.
My one word would be undermanned. And here's why last night's loss was more concerning than previous losses. As you said, Layla, through three quarters, they were right there. They were up a point going into the fourth quarter. And you're thinking, okay, I get it. Lachlan Ulbrich, by the way, has played in seven games this year.
Lachlan Ulbrich made our text thread.
Well, I dropped this nugget. The Bulls are now 0-7 when Lachlan Ulbrich takes the court.
Ooh.
Keep him in the G League, please. He's not helping. You're out of bigs. I get it. Waiting for Jalen Smith to come back from concussion protocol, but you need to do that. Here's what was so concerning about last night. Two things. One, not only did they get held to under 20 points, as you said, doubled up in the fourth quarter, 32-16. It's the fact that the Pistons bench scored 20 points in the fourth quarter.
We were joking about B-Ball Paul having a career night the last time these two teams met. Well, who had it last night?
Chaz Lanier did not play in the first three quarters of that game and ended up with 8 points all in the fourth quarter. Oh, do you remember Javonte Green? I heard there's five of them out there.
Oh, yeah, that happened last night. There were some Javonte moments.
He had 7 points in the fourth quarter. And here's why I say last night was such a disappointment. Yes, they were undermanned, and yes, Lachlan Ulbrich was out there. But here's the thing. If you're playing a team, and I know they're the best team in the Eastern Conference so far with a 29-8 record, or excuse me, 28-9 record.
Javonte had four steals.
Yes.
Only one Javonte didn't get a steal.
Yes.
Aw, fifth Javonte.
The Pistons are 28-9 this season atop the East standings. The Bulls should have won that game. Mainly because, I don't know, Cade Cunningham, their leading scorer, didn't play.
No, but
Jalen Duren, their second leading scorer, didn't play. Tobias Harris, their third leading scorer, didn't play.
Isaiah Stewart was the Piston with the career night last night. 14. First it was B-Ball Paul, then it was Isaiah Stewart.
Career high 31 points on 14 of 17 shooting. 12 of those 14 field goals that were made, deep in the paint. Nikola Vucevic might as well have had cement blocks on for shoes.
They got outscored badly in the paint.
62 points in the paint they give up.
Yeah, and didn't they only have like 40 some odd? Yeah, 48. So they got outscored badly in the paint.
But that's why last night was particularly disappointing.
Number five.
Before Chicago takes on Green Bay, tune in Saturday from 4 to 6:45 p.m. for the pregame show right here on 670 The Score. Olin Krutz, Patrick Manley, and Mully will get you set for the wild card matchup. Then immediately following the game, they'll have instant reaction on the Timber Tech Decking and Railing postgame show. All of it can be heard on 670 The Score and the Odyssey app. This is Five On It. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Mark Grody will be along just up next, 12:25 from Hallis Hall. Here's a little surprise bonus question that Layla and Marshall weren't privy to, but here's our mystery question. Are you participating in Dry January? Because I am. And the real question is, how many Dry January participants will still be holding on strong if the Packers if the Bears-Packers game doesn't go Chicago's way. It's going to be hard for me, I'll tell you that.
So I will go weeks without drinking just by happenstance. And then I'll forget that I went weeks without drinking. Then after three drinks, I'm like, whee! And I don't remember anything.
How's that go again?
Whee! So I don't do it because I don't drink a lot anyway. And I will make a drink last. So I don't participate in dry January because I just don't drink a lot to begin with. Like if I cut out alcohol, it's not making a big difference in my caloric intake overall. You know what I mean? So no. And I'm not drinking the night that we watch the Packers game anyway, because we'll be working. You gotta take notes and stuff. So
you handle it all responsibly, as every ad you've ever heard tells you to do.
No. I mean, not always. Let's be honest. Like I just said, three drinks and I'm done. Well, it doesn't necessarily matter the time frame. But when it comes to how many Bears fans will be participating in Dry January, the better question is, did they already decide to stop it before the game because they want to watch it somewhere? A Saturday night again? After what happened the last time? Where I was with a bunch of my friends and we were in a daze because we had no idea what was going on. And I had a glass of wine and then later I had a sugar-free Red Bull. So I don't know. I just don't think that Dry January has much of a chance here in Chicago. It might be like dry 4th of the month. You know what I mean?
What's funny about this is I was at the last Bears-Packers game and I did not drink. So, and just like you said, Layla, I can go months without drinking. I don't need to drink. I keep no alcohol in the house since the pandemic.
I have it for entertaining and stuff.
I don't entertain.
Why are you so confident about that?
Oh, no, I'm just saying, like, I guess I could go get some alcohol if I was entertaining, but I can't tell you the last time I entertained.
I have a champagne bottle because Remy Martin does champagne now, and I'm, like, really excited. It's not branded as Remy. It's part of their group, and I'm, like, really excited to chill it and host later.
But to answer your Dry January question for Bears fans, I think win or lose, there's going to be more people breaking the Dry January. If you win, you want to celebrate with your friends. Most people will be out for this game. It's a Saturday night. It's not, what do we call the last one, the biggest holiday party in Chicago? This, you know, it's post-holiday, but the vibes are real right now. This is the biggest game they've played in 15 years. This is a big contest. It's the Packers. If it was against the Rams, or if it was against another one of these teams, the Niners, different. But it's the Packers. You can't ignore that. So people will be drinking, and they'll be talking smack, and I love it. I'm here for all of it. But I will be at home on the couch watching two games at once, because I need to see. Modest watch continues.
I love
Cooper
this.
Flag in the building.
I love this text from 815. The Bears are the reason I need a dry January to give my liver a break.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
I'll tell you this, since you mentioned the simultaneous Bears and Bulls game. Adam Amin yesterday on the CHSN broadcast mentioned, or Casey Johnson as well, mentioned how Ayo Dosunmu not happy that he can't watch his Bears because he's going to be playing his own professional game.
Oh, that was hilarious. When he... Marshall claims he's 100%.
I never said I was 100%. I was like, I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm like, are you getting sick? I accidentally said Justin Fields when he sneezed into his shirt.
Did Justin Fields sneeze into his shirt?
You. Oh. Marshall was the original antecedent here.
I'm confused.
It's 779. I think I'm doing Dry January wrong. You're not supposed to drink the bar dry? Yeah, I don't know. I don't participate in it, and I'm okay with it. So, great for those who do. But now I'll still have my social sparkler every now and then.
I'm squarely in it, and we're going to see. We're going to see if I can stand the test of this weekend.
That's, yeah, Ray. I mean, don't let the calendar tell you what to do. You know? You tell that calendar who's boss.
All right.
Mark Grody's next from Alice.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Saul.
Bears.
Mark Grody, covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Can I get a couple minutes with you here, man?
Man, I need you talking today, man. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm going next to Mark Grody. Are you from The Score?
How gratifying is it when you win that battle and get the football thrown to you?
What? Host of the Take the North podcast.
I'm sorry, guys. What was I talking about?
Kind of shaking your head at God for a second, though.
Mark Grody.
My hair does look good today.
With Raheemy Harrison Grody on The Score.
He's an apartment complex, this guy.
Ho ho! We changed it up! Mark Grody is the co-host of Raheemy Harrison Grody, as in Ann Grody. He joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Appropriate that the Wayne Larrivee impression makes a comeback this week as the Bears are yet again playing the Packers, and he joins us from the Hall, Hallis Hall. Mark, how are you?
I am doing well, guys. Yes, I am coming at you guys from the PNC Center, the atrium, the room in which everybody walks to get into the building. Well, at least one of them. On the other side of the building right now on Field 1 out here at Bears headquarters, the Bears are practicing, getting ready for the Green Bay Packers, obviously on Saturday night, all eyes in that practice. And they're out there. Kyler Gordon and Rome Odunze, Ben Johnson guys sharing with us these specific words about those two guys and their chances. Quote, we'll see what it looks like. They're moving around well. We'll see if they can help us out this weekend. So that's, we know everybody wants to know about that. Injury report will come out a little bit later. We'll also get into the locker room a little bit later on. But as you guys know, the Bears did beat Green Bay on December 20th, but it certainly wasn't perfect. I thought there was a lot that the Bears could clean up in that game. And I asked Ben Johnson specifically that question on what you need to do to get better. And he kind of gave me the old two for one, because he also tells us what needed to be better in the first game against Green Bay. So I want you guys to hear this. It's fairly lengthy, just a little bit over a minute. I guess it's not that long. And then I will fill in some blanks on some of the things that you will hear from Ben Johnson. But I just think this is a really good synopsis from Ben Johnson of what needs to be better to win this game on Saturday night. Here's Ben Johnson.
I think we're having problems with our system.
And I don't hear the Ben Johnson cut, but I can fill in some of the blanks
now,
for you guys.
Now, hold on for a second. I want people to know that they can watch you on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. And Mark has many Bears behind him. Ah, see there?
Yeah, actually.
We've got the audio now.
What do you think needs to be better against the Packers, even relative to winning that game?
Yeah, I mean, they're a very talented group from top to bottom, and we've kept the game close both times we played them and had a chance at the end of the game to come out on top. I'd like to see us play better early in the game, particularly on offense. It felt like last couple times we played, we haven't gotten off to as fast of a start as you'd like. I think, you know, particularly the first game against them in the first half, we did not do well on third down. Second half, we were a little bit better and we had a little bit more success moving the ball. The last game we played against them, same thing. They did a good job with their third down plan, and we weren't able to stay on the field. The story of both games so far has been their offense possessing the ball. And when that happens, you just have limited opportunities, limited possessions, and it makes each play and each possession that much more valuable. Their offense is one of the best, if not the best, in the NFL on third and fourth down. And so that we got a big challenge there in terms of getting off the field when we get them in those situations. And yet, you know, I do feel good about our red zone defense, and they came big through big for us last time we played, and would like to see that happen again.
Yeah, I'm paying very close attention to the third down. I get it on both sides of the ball, but Green Bay on third down against the Bears, and the Bears win over Green Bay. The Pack was 6-for-12 on third down. In that first game that the Bears lost, obviously, the Packers were 8-of-12 on third down in that game. And we know all the issues that went down in that game. Green Bay, time of possession against the Bears this year, and the Bears win. The Packers had the ball 38-57 to the Bears 26 minutes and 13 seconds in the first game. Green Bay, a little bit better. Green Bay 33-29 to the Bears 26 minutes and 31 seconds. And in general, the Green Bay Packers back to the third down thing, their offense, that is, their offense in general, they are second in the league on third down. So I thought that was really interesting how specific Ben Johnson got. It's specific and it's very obvious too. Those areas need to be cleaned up. As tight as both of these games were, even though the Bears won their last game, they got away with some stuff, and that stuff needs to be tightened up to win this game on Saturday.
I find it pretty curious, Mark, that Ben Johnson gave the Packers credit for time of possession, but for some reason didn't give the Lions credit for it last week.
Did he never mention that?
The offense needed to be on the field more to limit it.
Yeah. Yeah, man, he was, I got to tell you, I mean, he was furious after that. I don't think that Ben Johnson has been more furious this year than he was after that Detroit game, and it seems to have carried over this week. Now, this is the first day that I've been out here, but obviously I paid attention to all the stuff that's been going on, and I've talked to my colleagues and all that. Like, he's been as focused of a man as he is. He seems like to be even more focused, and you know, he joked around a little bit with us today, but you could still feel that laser focus, maybe a little bit of an anger, maybe a chip on his shoulder has grown a little bit after that Detroit loss. I mean, the Detroit loss, really, I mean, it may have been the most productive loss for the Bears this year in terms of straightening them out and opening their eyes a little bit and incurring the wrath is what I feel like has been going on out here from Ben Johnson.
Well, Mark, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the reason why he was so angry after the Detroit game specifically is because he felt like these were self-inflicted errors. We can talk about the mental mistakes early on in the game, and that's why they weren't. It wasn't like they were getting out-schemed or getting beat in a certain way by the Lions. He felt like his offensive players were making mistakes, that's what led to their downfall offensively for three quarters.
Well, depending on who you talk to in terms of the being out-schemed part of things, because it sounded like some people thought they were a little bit out-schemed on
I'm talking specifically on offense, though. I understand what you're saying about Jaquan Brisker and the defense, yes, but offensively.
I just heard keyword just popped into my head when you said that, so I just grabbed the shiny object. Sorry about that, Marshall. But, yeah, no doubt about it. Look, I mean, nothing infuriates any coach in any sport more than mental errors, unnecessary, unforced errors. It's like it's the easiest area that a coach, and in this case, in this sport, in this football, in this building, is the easiest thing for a head coach to justifiably get angry at and not feel like there's going to be ramifications. Like if he goes off on his players because of mental mistakes, that's good. That's justified. That's understandable. There can't be any pushback on something like that. And it is like, and it is at this point in the season, Marshall, this far with a regular season having been played, you shouldn't be sitting there being able to take out your little sheet and count mental mistakes that you jotted down in a game. That's inexcusable. And you're right. That is another huge part of the edge, the necessary, and I would say, yeah, justified edge that Ben Johnson has had. And you hear the players repeating the same thing. And I think organically feeling the same thing as well.
Well, and I guess maybe I shouldn't go to this place with it, but I don't love that the head coach is still having to criticize players to that end on the game plan. Additionally, it sounds like there's two very different game plans, perhaps, if that's how he feels about time of possession, when it comes to the offense against the Lions and the offense against the Packers.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think one thing that could be on the Bears' side, really on both teams' side, if you think about it, is the running game. Which team can get the running game revved up? The Bears in the December 20th game did rush for 150 yards. The Packers were well over 100 yards as well. Emmanuel Wilson is a guy that I have circled. I get it. It's Josh Jacobs, but Emmanuel Wilson was a problem against the Bears in that December 20th game. Every run seemed to 14 carries for 82 yards in that game. So both teams can get this running game going. The Bears in the first game, the December 7th game, the Bears outrushed the Pack 138 to 117. So you can see where it might, it's obviously the quarterbacks are huge in this game and the most important part of it, but low key, which team gets the running game revved up early and the most often could very well win this game. And it's been pretty even in that regard. Both teams have been capable of running against the other. We know that the Bears have had heavy duty issues this year, stopping explosive runs, stopping other teams' running backs. And we know that Josh Jacobs had that explosive in one of the games. I think it was the first game against the Bears on December 7th. That all that stuff has to be taken seriously.
Mark, what are you most excited to inquire about when the locker room opens after practice? What are you after besides getting me an explanation of how the Bears are going to actually beat the Packers on Saturday night?
Well, I think that the number one person is DJ Moore has not talked this week. He also did not talk after, at least not while I was in there, and I don't know that anybody talked to DJ Moore after the Detroit game. So he is certainly subject number one for all of us to talk to. And look, he has been of heavy consequence in these games. Obviously, the 46-yard magical overtime win on December 20th, but the whole Keyshawn Nixon saga is interesting because he was in the picture on both plays. Keyshawn Nixon had the interception, obviously, in the first game, and we know that we all thought, was DJ Moore open? Was he good for that? And it was Keyshawn Nixon in coverage on the play on December 20th, and I know he's been talking out. I heard you guys playing a little bit of what he was saying coming in here to Hallis Hall today. So I think that's a person that I definitely will ask DJ Moore about when we get a chance to talk to him, because he's obviously, I don't have to say it, one of the most important parts going into this game on offense.
Well, and the other thing is, I wonder if he'll admit to the late hit over the middle now. Like, didn't DJ try to move past that a little bit in post-game comments last time?
You talk about Keyshawn Nixon with the late hit on DJ Moore. Oh, you know what, Layla? That should have been part of the bullet points I just mentioned when we bring up Keyshawn Nixon. Yeah, that's another thing. I mean, that's why I said, like, it's just been, like, these two players, Nixon and Moore, like, every game that they play this year, there is something that has happened and multiple things that have happened. So, yeah, he's an important part of what's going on out here for sure.
Well, Mark, we appreciate the time. We look forward to your work coming up from the hall. What time is your hit with the afternoon show?
I have been told that my next hit will be at 4 o'clock on the afternoon combination of Spiegel and Holmes, and I'm looking forward to that. I don't know if I'll be able to perform it in front of this wonderful Bears mural. I don't know if you guys could even see it, but yes. I'm just looking back at this wall right now. Dave Wanstead right here. I'm pointing to it for the people on Twitch. I see a Kevin Butler trying to kick a field goal. I see what looks to be a 33 Charles Tillman next to number 26, Tim Jennings. That's why sometimes you'll hear me call Tim Jenkins Tim Jennings, because the Bears had a guy named Tim Jennings, number 26, who had a bunch of interceptions one year. So, but I don't think I have time to go through every person on this mural, unless you guys would
like
me to do that.
I concur.
maybe next week. Who knows? Mark, thanks again. We'll look forward to the hit at 4.
Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow in studio, big guy.
Yeah. Be ready with your picks, guys. Be ready. This is going to be a close one.
Indeed. That's Mark Grody, live from Hallis Hall, joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. And coming up next, availability continues to be the name of the game with this matchup. And unfortunately, that also means in the receiving corps. We got to break out the Roma Dunze Confidence Index, because I don't know how healthy he is. That's next.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Rahimi Harrison Grody, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
This is Rahimi Harrison Grody on 670 The Score, and it is the Thursday before the Saturday night playoff game against the Packers. Which means we should know more about guys who are injured today, right?
In theory.
And not just like theoretical players, but real ones.
There's real players out there. Can't tell you what they're doing yet because, you know, practice ain't over, but yeah.
Which is kind of how I feel about trying to figure out the status of Roma Dunze. what's your level of confidence that he can play? Because if you hear Rome talk about it, it didn't sound great. Let's listen to Rome. Well, we tried to listen to Rome.
You know, I'm not in my peak shape. I'm not in my peak shape, I will admit. But I've been working hard. You know, I've been trying to get my conditioning up any way that I can possible. And I'm good to play a game. So I'm excited to go do that. And when that adrenaline is going and, you know, things are starting to fly and agreements on the opposing sideline, you know, stamina kind of goes to the wind.
Sounds very, dare I say, Kyler Gordon-ish.
It was the right answer for a, I think, somewhat frustrating problem. So there's that. I just don't know. I don't know how to I don't know how to put that. Like I don't necessarily know that I'm confident in his availability.
He's not confident that he can be the difference maker that he's been before he got hurt. You heard how he said, I'm not going to be at 100%, but something's better than nothing. But how much of the something do you need to have to make it worth putting on the football field is my question.
Well, and what's he going to do? Because the thing is, if he's a decoy, the other team's going to know it as much as we do.
I don't think you can put him out there as a quote-unquote decoy. He's got to be able to run and block. That requires your feet, and we all understand the nature of his injury. And because of that, they've got, I guess, one more day of practice today to figure it out, right?
But when Rome starts out saying, I'm not in my peak shape, knowing that he was injured in a pregame warm-up, or at least re-aggravated, or whatever you want to call that, determined not to go, and then was out for weeks following, what's your confidence meter?
If it's 0 to 10 right now, I'm at a 4.
Yeah.
A 4, well, what, confidence that he's going to play or confidence that he's going to be effective? Those are two different things.
No, effective.
Oh, yeah, a 4.
Which is kind of how I feel. I'm in the mid-range. It'd be like 5. So Ben Johnson, I guess, tried to shed a little more light on not just him, but Kyler Gordon today.
How did Kyler Gordon look when he was on the practice field yesterday?
He looked good yesterday. Yeah, we'll see what it looks like again today, both him and Rome. You know, it's good to have them both back out there. I know they're excited. They're moving around well, and we'll see if they can help us out this weekend.
That's good.
That's better, right?
Well, it's as good as you can have when you've just put them on the practice field in a limited capacity and understanding you got to go through it and then wake up the next day and see how you feel the day after. And that's where we are right now. That's why I'm very curious about today's injury report. That's the wrong word to use, not expect. I'm hoping that one or both of them goes through a full practice today because this is the version of Friday in a regular week. And usually if you go full on a Friday, you're good to go.
So Rome gave an update today, correct?
No.
When we say asked if Rome, you mean Ben Johnson. We're getting this stuff in as it's coming down from Hallis Hall, so that's why it's a little confusing. I thought Rome was asked if Rome will be limited. So Ben Johnson was asked a follow-up question about Rome and Dinze.
Will he be on a continental prescription?
Maybe.
I've asked. What are the first 15 plays?
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully it will get us off to a faster start this time. How about that?
He's still mad about the game Sunday.
Wait a minute. Can we
hold on.
Can we go back to that answer? Just because the sound that Ben Johnson makes when he's asked the question about Rome Odunze, that is not a...
I'm not even focused on the Rome part of it.
I heard the follow-up.
He's still mad.
Run it back.
Does play, will he be on a continental prescription?
Maybe.
I've asked. What are the first 15 plays?
That's right. Yeah. Hopefully it will get us off to a faster start this time. How about that?
He knows. Layla, he knows.
On the scale of where do we rank that? I feel like it's not quite to that level.
Oh, that's higher than because is about you not quite knowing the answer and having to try to buy time. He ain't buying time. He's just telling you this is how I feel about it.
He also does a shoot, and he obviously is not saying shoot at that time, but I'm still laughing at him being still so angry about what happened Sunday. What did they have planned that they messed up? Was somebody supposed to parachute out of the sky?
No, guys were supposed to block people at the second level that did not get
blocked. I'm aware of that part. But to a man, the look of it was not as insulting and upsetting as whatever the end result was.
All I'll say is
they did go 8 plays before they had to give the ball back.
And I think he felt like we should score. He's like, the way he draws it up, he is a mastermind, a tactician, more than just a head football coach. He draws up the plays. And that doesn't mean he runs a playbook. He builds the playbook. So when he sees 6 is a lot. When you're talking about 6 out of, what do you say, the first 11?
11.
That's over half the plays. There was things going wrong.
Like, he's still way more mad about that than whatever Rome is available or not available or what they can do with him on Sunday.
I expect this Bears team to either come out strong on Saturday or Ben Johnson's head to explode a la, what's my man's name? Clayton Bigsby in the Dave Chappelle Show, season 1, episode 1. Have you seen that?
Refresh the memory of everybody.
So Dave Chappelle plays a blind black white supremacist in this skit. It's the very first episode of a show he ever did. And this is why Chappelle's Show is classic, genius, all the above. And in this episode, in this skit he does, he's blind, but of course he's a Klansman, so he is covered. So no, people don't know that he is black. At the end of the skit, he's asked to take off his mask because they want to see his face. And when he takes the mask off, one guy's head just spontaneously combusts because he can't believe the dude is black. I expect if Ben Johnson gets the same level of mental, I don't even know what the word is, lacking, we'll call it, inaptitude, however you want to put it, in his offense when he sees them on the field for the first time, his head might spontaneously combust based on what we've seen from Ben Johnson and his expectations for his team. Basic expectations.
I don't know, man. That doesn't sound like basic expectations to me. That sounds like it's somebody did something very wrong.
I think they did it repeatedly wrong.
Because
he didn't have to tell us the 6.
We're never going to get to the bottom of that answer, but if he's still mad about it today.
Like, we
hopefully
love.
He'll get us off to a faster start this time. How about that?
It's the cadence, right? It's when the words get so much shorter. Like, Tyler, what do you think?
Like, especially that, hopefully after that. Like, that is where I'm like, ooh, he might be a little pissed off still from earlier in the week.
How about that? Like, ooh, what? Who? I know you wanted to be.
It brings me back to that halftime interview.
Yeah.
That was bad.
Yeah, he can hide it. He can. And I'm not mad at him for having emotions. It's not even that. It's not like I'm like, oh, this is wrong to feel this way, XYZ. But we're starting to just be able to tell is the thing. Kind of like how you know the look in Dan Campbell's eye says he's going to go for it on fourth down. We just know.
Wouldn't that just be every look he ever gives?
Ah, I'm sad for Dan Campbell that he doesn't get to call any more fourth downs right now.
On the text line, man, 815, give me more Burden, Walker. Rome stinks, man. I don't need him. He'll probably drop some important 3rd and 8 important pass like he's done all season. I think that's part of the issue here is Bears fans are so used to life without Rome Odunze that they think Colson Loveland and Luther Burden III stepping up in his absence means they don't need Rome Odunze. I would say that's not the case.
Well, 608 had it too. Rome is not the one I'm concerned about. The Bears are fine without having Rome. Gordon is the one I really want to know about. If he's healthy, that's huge. Yes, a healthy Kyler Gordon makes an incredibly big difference on the defense. Healthy Rome would be great, but with all the other weapons they have, healthy Rome doesn't make the same kind of difference, but that's not a bad thing either. We see his face. We have a special guest who has entered the 670 The Score Hyundai Broadcast Studios. You know who it is? Lou Kanellis. We get to talk about Bears playoffs with Lou. Fox 32 is cooking up something very special on Saturday, and you can watch the game on that channel. Fox 32 will have it for you. So Lou will tell us what's in store and what he thinks about this playoff game next.